Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
To learn at a geometric rate. It becomes self-aware at 2:14 a.m. Eastern Time, August 29th.
Hey, Ian Schur from CNET.com, editor. Is that what happened the other day?
You know, every time I try to get on my cell phone and it doesn't work, I sometimes wonder, is Arnold Schwarzenegger going to show up? But this time around, no. I mean, a lot of people who are listening were caught up in this Comcast outage that happened. But from everything we've heard, it's just a one of those routine, what I like to call fat finger moments, where someone pushed a button they shouldn't have or tripped over a cord. And things went kablooey for a while and you didn't have internet. And we all had a few moments to think about how peaceful the world could be if we just stayed that way.
Yeah. I somehow escaped this. I didn't even know that it was going on. And I was obviously online when I heard about it. So I'm like, what? And it seemed like it had no rhyme or reason as to where or where not these outages were occurring. Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, this is part of the frustration about how technology works, is that in a lot of ways, it's extremely fragile, right? I mean, when I talk about the internet as a miracle, sometimes I mean it's a miracle in that it's shocking it keeps working all the time. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, the way that Comcast went down, we don't know any details other than some configuration problem. But I will point out that Facebook and other outages that have happened recently have also been tied to these quote unquote configuration problems. And it's increasingly clear that the complexity of how all of this stuff is set up, while I'm not worried about it becoming self-aware and taking over the world, it is clearly having we're having trouble managing it all. In you know, and every once in a while things just stop working.
Well, you know, obviously I am the layman. I am ignorant. A configuration problem. What is that exactly? What are we?
So, you have to remember the internet is all a bunch of different computers talking to each other, right? It's not some central area with, you know, light in the center of it and then information flowing out. Like, there's just a bunch of computers everywhere. And just like when you are dealing with trying to string things together, or you're trying to, you know, you're building a car, you're getting all the hoses connected, you know, sometimes you have to unconnect to you know, work on something, fix it, clean it out. You put it back. You put the wrong hose in the wrong place, whatever else. You know, you're looking at it from the wrong angle and you do something wrong. That is essentially what this is like, is that all of these complex computer programs that manage all of these computers talking to each other. Sometimes people, when they're taken down for routine reasons, bring them back up the wrong way, get them talking to the wrong computer, and things just cascade. And that's what's fascinating as well, is that one problem can quickly become 10,000 problems. And that's what happened to Facebook. It was really just one little problem that cascaded the whole way around. And the stuff that manages Facebook knowing where all of its computers are suddenly just stopped talking. And Facebook couldn't even talk to their, I mean, it was amazing. They couldn't even get into their conference rooms. People couldn't even get into the building because all of their technology went down.
I'm surprised that this hasn't happened before, or maybe it did, but not to this extent.
It does. It does. And, you know, generally speaking, these outages, they get some attention. I think partially the reason that we're all talking about it now is that it happened in major cities, whereas oftentimes it's not as often. Like, it'll hit huge swaths of much less densely populated areas. And so, you know, there's kind of an understanding that the internet is not as reliable when you leave the big cities. And so people just kind of accept it as normal life, but it shouldn't be. I mean, we should be able to rely on the internet regularly.
If somebody wanted to hack the internet and do this, could they?
Well, that's the, like I said, you know, the internet's not just one monolithic thing. So you can't hack the internet. You can hack the different companies that are being used to make the internet work, right? If you hacked Facebook, that's you know, 3 billion people a month are using that thing. So, you can suddenly touch a whole lot of the internet that way. But it's really tough. And the biggest things that we found are kind of the choke points that allow for these problems are stuff like there are internet connection kind of big cords that are connected to our internet service providers, right? And they are, you know, we have them kind of, they're called backbones. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, particularly, you know, domestic terrorists, have actually tried to cut the cords where those big connection points are and tried to kill our internet that way. And, you know, it does cause trouble. There were periods in where Silicon Valley suddenly didn't have internet because someone went in and did successfully cut a cord once. So it does happen.
And when it does happen, obviously, questions, I mean, I ask in my own mind, what would the world be like all of a sudden if we didn't have the internet? I mean, consider that for a second.
I think the feeling of everyone's hands around each other's throats would loosen a little. I mean, it's so hard. I spend so much of my time now thinking of how technology has hurt society. And it's not because that's what I want to think about. It's that is what, you know, after spending 30 years talking about how amazing technology can be, we've ignored all of the bad stuff that can happen. And now it's all kind of piled up, right? And we have to deal with it. And so I want to believe that there's still good things that happen on the internet every day. There's amazing stuff you can find. But unfortunately, it gets overshadowed sometimes by all this stuff.
But the technology itself is not, correct me if I'm wrong, is not inherently bad or good. It takes a human being to send it in either direction, doesn't it?
Any good debater will tell you a tool is just a tool.
Right.
It's about what it does in the hand of the person.
Exactly.
Using it. And, yes. And that is something that I think is important to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, honestly, one of the fascinating things I think about when it comes to internet trouble is that, you know, when we're talking about, you know, is Facebook a good thing or a bad thing, right? Or is Google a good thing or a bad thing? Or should I allow this tracking? Or, you know, do I worry about all these things? Is that generally speaking, a lot of these companies are waking up wanting to make the world better. And what I look at all of these problems we talk about all the time, I look at them as failings of human beings to succeed at what they're trying to do every day. Mm-hmm. I don't look at it as them trying to cause trouble.
Although there are plenty of people on the internet who are.
There are people who like to cause trouble.
I mean, there are countries trying to cause trouble. There are. There's espionage trying to cause trouble.
But there are misguided people everywhere in the world. Yes.
Yes,
and I'm not dismissing any of that. It's true.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I was talking to someone about internet scams. There's so many, you know, scams. And I had mentioned, you know, I get these emails from Amazon telling me that they're looking for people to work out of their home. And that's like the number one scam. And I got another one today.
Yeah, I actually, it breaks my heart. I've actually been talking to victims of scams lately, and it's really like the worst part to a person. Every time I talk to someone, they start getting into the conversation about how dumb they feel because they've been scammed.
Of course.
And you know what's really heartbreaking to me is that the FTC released its data for the first time on gift card scams last year, and all the experts tell me that the research data is off by at least a zero. Right.
Whoa.
Like, it's because people don't talk about it. Right. Just like we have all these other issues in our society that we don't talk about. People don't talk about how often they get scammed. And so we actually don't even have a sense of how large this problem is and how pervasive it is in society. And that is really like it's heartbreaking to me to think that there are people suffering, feeling dumb about themselves because they got tricked by someone.
Hey, listen.
And
go ahead.
You know?
No. I was one step away. Yeah. I mean, really.
And I feel very lucky. My godmother was very close to being scammed. And, you know, I'm on her speed dial. Right. And so she called me and she's like, this seems a little fishy. I'm like, shut it down. But, you know, but it wasn't like if I hadn't picked up at that moment or whatever else. And she's a paycheck to paycheck person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those things where I really, and most Americans can't afford, like most of Americans can't afford a surprise $1,000 bill. And most of these scams, the FTC data shows that they lose about $840 on average. That is life-changing for people.
Yeah.
And so it's really sad that these things happen and they continue to happen.
Wow. What can we do to protect ourselves from these things?
Educating yourself is a great thing. You know, it's funny. I was talking to one expert recently who told me that, you know, stop, drop, and roll, right? We all know that from our childhood. And part of that, it was the reason that we're taught that is that you want to, in that moment where your brain is turned off and your fight or flight is kicked in, that you still can remember something, right? Stop, drop, and roll. And so they said we need to get to a point where we're educating each other enough about these scams that you're able to identify these things enough that when you are terrified that the FBI is about to arrest you, which is what some of these scams do, or that there are a million hackers on your computer and trying to do whatever, and that some of these scams do that, or they're cleaning out your bank account and you know some of the scams do that, that you're still able to think, oh, there's something, there's a way I can get out of this. There's that all I have to do is hang up the phone and it goes away. But it's getting people to think that. And it's really hard in that moment.
Yes, it is. What about hotspots? Is there something there that is worthwhile investigating?
Well, you know, so one of the reasons that, you know, going back to the Comcast thing that happened, right, and the internet outage.
Right.
One of the reasons that people tend to still have internet hotspots, which, you know, are little cellular hockey pucks that can give you an internet signal when you don't have access through Comcast, is that, you know, those things are good, but most of us have them on our phones now. I don't know if you know, but you can use that. And so, in fact, the phone costs have gone down pretty well when it comes to using hotspot, but you have to call your company to turn it on. So if you don't have it turned on for your phone, it might be worth, you know, taking this moment to examine whether that might be worth it for you. Because when we have those moments where it doesn't work, right? And I mean, look, I've got little kids. We're in the car for a long drive. They have iPads that do not have internet on them. So I use my hotspot on my phone for those periods. And I'll tell you, it's worth its weight in gold when that's going on.
Yes, you've got your hand raised for a question, young man.
Yes, I do. I noticed something. I've got an iPhone 12, so it's 5G capable.
Yes.
But I've noticed when I'm in certain parts of the city, I get the 5G, and then there's a U and a C, one over the other, right next to the 5G.
Yes.
What impact is that? Because I do a speed test, and it's like 200 megabits. Which is as fast as my home cable. So I'm wondering, when people start finding this and realizing that when you're in the right spot and get it, is it going to change the kinds of things that we do with our phones?
So here's the thing.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do, actually. And I'm willing to... I'm willing to bet that you're a T-Mobile subscriber, right?
Bingo.
Yes. because they're the only people doing that UC thing right now. But what it is that there are different flavors of 5G, as you've pointed out, right? And, you know, 5G is supposed to be this ultra fast, very much more reliable internet connection for our phones. But it's built on the technology that 4G is. So I think of it a lot in terms of being 4G plus, right? Mm. Well, unfortunately, one of the things about 5G that makes it work is that it uses different radio bands and it uses ones that don't go as far as 4G do. So, you know, radio, it only goes a certain amount of distance and then you need a repeater or whatever else. Mm-hmm. Well, 5G goes far shorter distance than 4G. And then what we've been trying to do is make 5G work better. So this UC is actually designed to allow for more people and also a wider distance. But because of that, it's not able to go as fast.
Wow.
So that's what you're basically on like 5G minus instead of 4G plus. Right. So and it's frustrating. Yeah. And look, this stuff is still rolling out. It's going slow. It's so frustrating. It has not lived up to the promises very much at all.
We're talking.
But if
go ahead.
Eventually, it should.
I got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Although we could stay on for quite a while. We've been talking to Ian Schur, editor-at-large at CNET.com. Thank you again for being with us, and I'm sure we will, Ian, I am sure we will get a hold of Ian Schur. Surely we will do that.